to North Idaho Now. This is episode 104 of the show. Chance Watson and Molly Roberts joining
Hello.
Us today.
Hi.
Hello, Molly. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. Yeah. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This episode is brought to you by Lucky Friday and the Hecla Mining Company. Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. I should probably slow down. They are the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills developed over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. Okay, now we can talk. Molly, what's going on?
Oh, well, I just got over a really fun cold. I can finally speak again, which is great.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You're, still your have voice a nice little... My rough. Voice on was that Tuesday was not good. Not good.
It was, you had some deep bass going on there.
I did. I still kind of have the rasp, which I like. I was saying if my voice stays like this, that's cool with me.
you could become like a jazz musician.
Just exactly. Just yeah. really raspy. Yeah. I like it.
Well, Molly, as our listeners may or may not know, Molly is the new staff reporter here at the Shoshone News Press. We're recording at the Shoshone studio today. And she also has some podcasting experience. So we're putting it to the test and bringing
right.
her on. Josh is not here. He hasn't been on all week, actually.
Wow.
I know. He selfishly took vacation on Tuesday. So how dare people...
On the week that I was sick.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was definitely... of course. Molly, we have already kicked it off great in our relationship by talking about video games and nerdy stuff. And we've just diving into it. Before we even kicked on, we were talking about Fallout and that kind of thing. So to not go too far deep down the nerd rabbit hole, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have any video game to movie adaptations that you like?
Ooh, that I like.
Right. Like there are like, okay, so a lot of people that don't play video games, their mm-hmm. only experience with these franchises would be the movie. So like, for example, say you knew nothing about video games. Your experience with Doom might not be so great because the Doom movie with Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Right. That's very true.
Was not great. Man. So like, okay. So let me rattle off some off topic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did you watch the new Mortal Kombat?
I did.
And
yes.
What are your thoughts?
I was actually, that was, I feel like one of the better movie adaptations mm-hmm. it was enjoyable and entertaining if you never played the Mortal Kombat movies.
Okay.
Or games.
Right.
And it's tough though. That's tough to take the video game and mm-hmm. to make it into a movie because you don't want to just copy the same exact story that
right.
you played in the video game. You want to create something new and fresh, but then you also want to keep it to the original kind of source.
Yep.
Oh, man. I know. My first thoughts were like Silent Hill, Resident Evil.
Oh,
Which honestly, I mean, the original kind of Silent Hill, I remember watching it I was probably in like middle school at the time. And going back and watching it, it holds up a little bit.
Silent Hill one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it does too.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean.
Resident Evil's too.
Resident Evil.
The Resident Evil movies were done.
They were.
Like, there's one that's hit and miss, but more often than not, they were good movies.
They were. Overall, they were pretty good movies. I feel like it introduced people to that franchise, which is cool.
The one that always sticks in my mind is the one where they go to the desert, or they're, like, near Vegas, I think.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That was, like, three or four.
I know, there's so many
There's a lot of them.
That's the thing, too, is that you just keep making so many, and then it just gets to the point where you're like, okay, that's like the Fast and the Furious movies. I just got to a point where I was like,
I think Josh would, like, staunchly defend the Fast and Furious movies. I am not. You're right, though. Isn't Fast and Furious movies are a playoff of video games, right?
I believe so.
Or is it the other way around?
I
think it was a video game first.
And then went, yeah. I mean, or at least taking the kind of idea of the racing games from, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to find, who was Alice in Resident Evil? Who's the actress?
Mila? It's an interesting
Jovovich.
Jovovich.
Just something like that. Yeah, I think she did a great job.
I think she did amazing. Yeah, no, she was great.
Michelle Rodriguez was in that movie,
she
too?
She is. That was, like, one of her first roles.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Huh. Michelle Rodriguez.
I guess maybe it was a while ago since I've seen those
movies. It was. Yeah.
It's been a little bit. But now, so before, like, just like adaptations, when you've got, like, a series that, like, a
book series.
Or something like that. Or when you take movies to video games. So again, this is right. Usually more often than not, those are not good. Like, movie to video game are not, they're not, like, anytime, like, you'll see
like Jurassic Park.
They're terrible.
Awful.
Alien versus Predator. Very bad. Like, there's
that's true. Yeah. Now comic book video games usually oftentimes.
The Avengers game was not great, but but the Avenger movies, solid.
All the Batman movies, though, are video games.
Arkham, yeah, obviously.
So good.
Those are fantastic.
So good.
But now it's become, it used to be like a niche thing where every once in a while we'd get a video game movie.
That's true.
Now it's becoming more and more popular, especially with TV shows. We're supposed, like, Amazon, I think, is making a Fallout TV series.
Yeah.
Which I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
I think Borderlands is getting a movie.
Interesting.
They casted who's the small funny guy not Chris Rock, but
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart was casted as, like, Roland.
Okay.
It's gonna be interesting for sure.
Exactly.
Jack Black is Claptrap.
Okay, that's intriguing. It's like, okay.
I'm skeptical, but but it's interesting to, like, how that is now finally reached a point
mainstream
where everything is being remade. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
I know. It's very difficult to toe that line of remaking these classic movies, these classic stories.
Mm-hmm. Even from, like, so they've been doing with books for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That's not uncommon. Uh-huh. You know, like, I think
as far as taking movies, like Ghostbusters.
They are really milking
that
one,
aren't they? And that's, I think, the thing. The overexposure, the milking it is where it's like, okay,
there are series.
Dial it back a little bit.
There are series. Well, there's some that they just need to end.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
Or we can hear
new stories.
Exactly.
Like, we can move on from, like, if we saw, like, the original Ghostbusters, like, train some new folks, and then we got
sure,
and then there's a new story with that, but, like, like, we're just revamping it over and over and over.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, I've seen this story four times now, four or five
different
times
iterations
now.
Of it.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I'll lose it if somebody's like, we're going to remake The Godfather or something. I'm like, oh, don't.
Yeah.
Don't,
we're going to remake Citizen Kane. No, we don't need to remake Citizen Kane. No one
need
needs
to. Do
to
that.
No, mm-hmm. we don't need to revamp that and make it modernized.
One of the more recent ones. If I could live the rest of my life without another reboot of Charlie's Angels, talk about a series that's just been milked to dry.
Yes.
The latest one with the gal from Twilight.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. I don't know if that one was very good or not.
Yeah, I know I watched it, but I don't remember much from it. So that's it. That
and
was the movie. Yeah.
And you know what?
And you remember. I mean, I remember Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, Cameron Diaz.
And that one was...
It was exactly.
Yeah, it was what it was.
It was what it was.
It wasn't great,
it was
but
campy,
it's not.
It was fun. Yeah,
sure.
But
that's the point of Charlie's Angels.
Exactly. Yeah.
But when you try to reboot something for, like, the 90th time,
then you just get exhausted.
We're even getting with that going back to the minor nerdy stuff there, like Star Trek and Star Wars.
And that's what I was kind of thinking. Star Wars, I feel like, has done a pretty good job about, you were talking about doing new stories. Like, now we have Mandalorian,
working,
we have Boba
finally,
Fett,
yeah,
where we're not just focusing on Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
Where, that did start to, it was like, okay, yep, I get it. Thank you, but I'm ready for new stories. This is a big universe.
Right.
I'm done with Luke Skywalker at this point. I love him. He's great, but
well, Mark Hamill's not getting any younger too.
Exactly. Like, let's give him a break. He's done great. Thank you for your service in the Star Wars franchise, but yeah, let's focus on...
And also
on...
lending your voice to being Joker in the animated stuff.
Now that, yes.
Oh,
he does such a good Joker.
He is such a good Joker.
Perfect. Yeah, let's give him space so that he can do more Joker things. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He could have been 100%.
Yeah.
His voice on that was just... Oh,
perfect.
Knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely.
But I'm also a big Star Trek fan. And
yes,
the fact that... I, like, right. Like, the stuff that's coming up, like Strange New Worlds with Anson Mount, who was, did you watch Hell on Wheels?
No, I didn't.
It's a good show. It's a good show. You should check that out. Hell on Wheels was absolutely fantastic, and he knocked it out of the park as Colin Buchanan in that show. And now he's supposed to be Christopher Pike, who, if you remember, was the captain of the Enterprise before Kirk.
Okay, gotcha.
So that, but that's, it's supposed to be like a serialized show where it's the adventure of the week kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Right, where it's a new story, it's a new character, it's the same universe that you're familiar with. But it's not the same recycled thing over and over again.
Let me ask you about that. Maybe like show structure, not even talking like any of the stuff we've been on. But like, do you prefer, like, remember, like That 70s Show.
Right.
This was the first one that came to mind because it's like the best example in my opinion. Every episode is a new story.
Uh-huh.
Like this is what is the gang up to today kind of thing.
Right. And then it's kind of closed at the end.
Whereas shows usually are now going to more serialized where the first episode is just important. It's basically one long movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it's more like 10 episodes. It's like a long movie.
It's like a 5-hour long movie, you know, like when you've got episodes that are 30, 45 minutes long.
Right.
And, like Game of Thrones. You can't just like turn on a random episode of Game of Thrones.
No, exactly.
You have to watch episode one because you're so confused.
Yes.
Whereas That 70s Show or anything like that, you just put on any episode.
You can just put on any episode and watch it.
Oh, look, Hank and Peggy don't understand modern life.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That's that. You get it. You understand the premise.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think that has its place for shows, but more often than not, I do like where it's just episodic.
Yeah.
I like being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a long thread, like there's still, you know, an underlying story that is slowly developed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like it keeps things fresh.
It does.
And the replayability goes up.
Yes. Yes.
If you do that, whereas like even a series that I hold close to my heart, The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the Netflix show, like I've watched both seasons.
Right.
I haven't really had an urge to replay it.
Rewatch.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I burned through it once and I know the story and that's about it.
That's true. Right.
Whereas I could turn on a New Girl or.
Exactly.
And I could just.
Parks and Rec, The Office.
Yep.
I mean, there's all those kind of shows that. Exactly. That's very true. Where, I wouldn't go back and watch The Witcher. I wouldn't probably go back.
It's not that it's bad.
It's just. It's different. Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe it is because, you do need to, you can't just jump in the middle. You need to, and it's part of that you have to pay attention too. Well,
especially with season one of The Witcher, where the timelines
are timelines. I'm still confused. I'm like, what timeline are we in?
I read the books and I was confused.
It's
like, I don't know what's happening
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
How old is Geralt again?
What is even happening? What timeline are we in?
I ask myself that question all the time.
All the time.
Like every day.
What timeline are we in?
It's funny. Remember, I was recently talking to somebody about the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this huge theory that it had something to do with the Hadron Collider.
Okay.
The one where they're smashing atoms together, pulling them apart or something like that.
Yep.
And like, while we remember things, it has now changed. Like every time that happens, it's changed like timelines for us.
Yeah.
So that's why we go, no, definitely like it was this way.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's not.
It's not. It was the Berenstain Bears.
Sure. Right. Exactly. There was a hyphen between Kit Kat.
What's happening here? I love multiverse stuff. I love thinking about that. Timelines, multiverse. Oh,
that's what. And that's one of the things that, like, especially with like Star Trek and everything, like they're always delving into time travel. That's what. Have you watched any of the new Star Trek stuff?
I haven't.
No. Okay.
No.
That's fine. Have you? How about the Star Wars? Have you been watching Book of Boba Fett?
No, I need to. I watched The Mandalorian.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I loved it.
It was good.
I loved The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was, like I said, it was the same universe that you're comfortable with, but it was this fresh story. It was bringing in this character that we already kind of knew, but it was like, I want to learn about The Mandalorian. Yep. I'm very interested in this.
And going back to episode structure, I thought they struck a fine balance between the two.
They did.
Like, remember that episode where he goes, like, to the wintry planet and the Razor Crest has to sit down for a second? It's obviously a filler episode, but, like, I could turn that one on, and, like, it's a neat little enclosed story.
That's
in
true.
That one little episode.
Right.
And he's, that kind of thing. In fact, I was hoping that Book of Boba Fett was going to be, like, a bounty of the week kind of thing. Ooh, it's not.
Ooh, okay.
It's obviously not. They're going in a very different direction. Yes. But
that would be interesting, though.
That would be really cool.
Huh.
Disney's really doubling down on their Star Wars license.
They really are. They really, really, really are.
That's basically one of the reasons to get Disney Plus on, I guess.
Is the Star Wars.
That or if you're
or Marvel, if you're into Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel. Or you're a big Lizzie McGuire fan.
I mean, yes.
Hilary Duff.
Hilary Duff. The Lizzie McGuire movie.
Whew. I never saw it.
Oh man. This is what dreams are made of.
That's the one where she's got the little cartoon version of her running around.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. That makes sense. That was a little, I had stepsisters for a hot second. Okay. So I was semi-familiar with it.
With Lizzie McGuire. Oh yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Let's move into some news now instead of going off on just straight.
Anybody
who's listening that's not a nerd is just I don't. Okay. We either just got listeners for life or we just lost half our audience. Initial successor, total failure. Mad Bomber Brewing Company, located at 9265 North Government Way in Hayden, Idaho, is a veteran-owned and operated business that has been serving North Idaho since 2013. Swing by the brewery today and try a staff favorite that is back on tap, the 6% ABV Devil Bird Scotch-ish. This beer features a robust malt profile, including smoked cherry wood that rounds out into a satisfying dry finish. Be sure to check out their special events throughout the week, including trivia on Mondays, all-day happy hour on Tuesdays, open mic night on Wednesdays, discounted Geller fills on Thursdays, and live music on Fridays and Saturdays. Mad Bomber Brewing also offers a wide selection of ciders from North Idaho Cider for those who may not want beer. Located near Triple Play, come by and mention the podcast when you order to receive $1 off your first beer. Mad Bomber Brewing, recklessly brewed in Hayden, Idaho. Takes us into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headline starting with Wednesday, February 2nd. Headline, one dead after PF shooting. I know that's Post Falls right there. This is by Kay Thornbrew. A man is dead after an alleged murder-suicide attempt, according to Post Falls police. Hence the headline, one dead after a Post Falls shooting. Law enforcement responded Tuesday afternoon to a shooting at a residence at 100 block of West 16th and Post Falls. Officers found a man in the driveway who had a gunshot wound to his head. He was pronounced dead at the scene. First responders reportedly found a woman in the garage who had also sustained a gunshot wound to the head. Ooh. She was reportedly awake when police arrived and she was transported to Kootenai Health. A preliminary investigation reportedly indicates the shooting stemmed from a domestic violence incident. Ooh. The deceased man allegedly attempted to shoot the woman before shooting himself, according to a Post Falls Police Department news release. The names of the individuals have not been released. An investigation is ongoing, and this is a developing story. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence or sexual abuse, call Safe Passage Violence Prevention Center, 24-hour hotline, 208-664-9303, or, this is not in the story, but if it's an emergency, you should probably call 911. Sad situation, and it seems like I feel like in the last month or so we've been dealing with a lot of shootings, and it's very strange.
It is.
Don't know. I guess everything comes in groups. We'll go months without hearing about a shooting or anything,
and then it seems like it all kind of comes at once. Yeah.
So maybe it's like a recency bias kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. All right. Molly, what do we got next?
Serving Up Support by Devin Weeks in Coeur d'Alene. Sandwich orders were plucked from the counter as fast as they appeared while Melt's Extreme Grilled Cheese patrons rallied for Trisha McCullough.
What? Melt's Extreme Grilled Cheese?
Oh, have you ever been there?
No.
Okay, honestly, it's one of my favorite. I love Melt's. Oh, you can get whatever you want on your sandwich.
Sounds like we got to reach out to Melts for some advertising.
I was going
to
say, I was like, Melts is not a sponsor of this podcast.
No, they're not, but it sounds like we need to make them one.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got?
We came here today to support Trisha with everything that's going on right now, family friend and coworker Mando Cantario said as he picked up sandwiches to go. This is great, he said. The fact that they're here to help at such a great time, it's amazing. It's great to have the community come together. It's such a tragedy, but it's great to see people together on the same team. Melts is donating 40% of its Tuesday profits to the McCullough family to support fundraising efforts as Trisha, 22, recovers from a devastating December 26th wreck on Interstate 90 that left her paralyzed and in need of surgeries and rehabilitation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Trisha's dad, David McCullough, said he was super grateful for the support. I don't really have the words for it. It's awesome, he said. It's hard for me to ask for help. Usually I'm trying to help other people, but I can't do this one by myself. Brianna McCarthy, who co-owns Melts with her husband Joe, gave David a big hug. "Oh, buddy," she said, "you got this. It's worth it in the long run." Brianna said she and Joe were contacted by a former employee who asked if Melts could do anything to help. "All of us love being of service," Brianna said. "That's kind of the orientation and the spirit of our restaurant." The McCullough family has to raise $350,000 to cover medical bills and expenses that are not covered by insurance. Melts will share its fundraising total with the press this week. Even though they go to the same church, the McCarthys and the McCulloughs have never met in person. Ironically, Brianna is a nurse and Trisha is a nursing student. Trisha was preparing to graduate with a four-year degree from Carroll College in Helena this spring. David said Trisha has been struggling with nausea. "She got up to sit up on Monday and took a shower," he said, "and that was good." He reported that as of Tuesday afternoon, about $198,000 had been donated through GoFundMe efforts. On April 20th, local country star Kelly Hughes will play at a spaghetti fundraiser at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds for Trisha, David said. People can donate on GoFundMe.com or directly via Wells Fargo Bank, identifying the funds for the Trisha McCullough donation account.
You know, shout out to our community, how people just come together and help.
I mean, that is a devastating tragedy, but just the fact that exactly people are coming together and helping out this family is heartwarming to
see.
It is heartwarming.
Okay, it looks like we're getting a pattern here because I'm getting all the negative stories. Moving on, headlines from Thursday, February 3rd. Man arrested after standoff. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Booms rang out in the frigid air, shattering an otherwise silent Wednesday afternoon. Not gunshots, which aren't uncommon in the area. The sounds came from flashbangs, explosive devices used to disorient a target. Far up a winding dirt path, hidden by evergreens, a standoff was underway. A wanted man accused of pointing a shotgun at a neighbor had held himself up inside a house, refusing to surrender himself to SWAT. Neighbors and others who exited the house said the suspect, identified as 44-year-old Travis J. Mathis, was armed. Police called Mathis on the phone. When they couldn't convince him to walk outside, they threw flashbangs into the front and side yards. Next, they deployed tear gas. Mathis reportedly surrendered after officers entered the house. He was arrested on charges of aggravated assault and unlawful possession of a firearm, both felonies. Meanwhile, a neighbor asked law enforcement what had caused about 25 police officers, the Kootenai County Sheriff's Office, and the Coeur d'Alene Police Department to descend on this quiet rural road. Quote, "We're executing a search warrant on the encampment," an officer told him. The neighbor's relief was palpable. "Thank God," he said. "Thank God." Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris said the property first came to the county's attention last summer when a fire broke out and scorched a hillside. The fire was reportedly caused by a man grilling meat using a spoked bicycle wheel as a barbecue.
Okay. County... Damn it, Kay. You had to get that. Throw that in there. Nice work. County records show Gallard Mathis owns the property. Between 40 and 50 people live on the 9-acre property in the summer months, police said, paying rent to park their campers and trailers. Fewer people remain in the winter. No children are known to live on the property. The property has no running water nor sewer system. PVC pipes stick out of some campers, a makeshift method of removing waste directly onto the ground. Okay. A pair of outhouses provide another option. Quote, "The conditions I saw on this property are absolutely horrible," Norris said. If not for the fire, he said, the conditions might have gone unnoticed for much longer. The encampment is set back far on the property, tucked away from the main road, with, quote, "private property" signs warning people away. Few people ventured close enough to see the full extent of the situation, at least until Wednesday's raid, which officials said revealed a host of alleged code violations. Panhandle Health District is investigating the environmental health concerns. Code violations are a landowner's responsibility, and the goal of the code enforcement is to correct the problems. For months, neighbors have reported what they described as suspicious activity, as well as spate of thefts. Police had also received reports of gunshots fired at neighborhood properties. After an investigation into alleged assault, police obtained a warrant for Mathis's arrest, as well as a search warrant for his residence. Animal control also responded to the property, where a black miniature horse paced a small paddock with no access to water. The horse's hooves were severely overgrown. Boy, that's almost makes me more angry than almost anything else in the story.
I agree.
Yeah. Behind the house, a dog in a large kennel played eagerly with officers, while another dog shielded away. Police said they found numerous cats inside the home, all in poor condition. They are just painting this picture of, like, the first thing that comes to mind is White Trash Carnival.
Uh-huh.
But I just, oh no, this is not good.
It started with that fire on the spoke bicycle wheel, and it just kept getting worse. I thought that was maybe going to be the worst thing. Nope, it just kept going.
Norris said ongoing staffing challenges have hampered the county's response to possible code violations. Norris said the property police raided this week as one of several similar parcels in Kootenai County where people are living in unsafe conditions that put them and their neighbors at risk. Quote, we want to see a collaboration between local agencies to make sure all these significant issues are addressed, he said. I know from experience when we write out here in Shoshone County, blights are definitely an issue that there's not a lot that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an uphill battle for law enforcement.
Yeah,
and when you're dealing with, you know, crimes in progress, it's hard to get to these sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they're so rural like that.
Yes.
Exactly. Like they said, if there hadn't have been that fire, this would have gone on for a longer time with going unnoticed.
Yes. And shout out to everybody involved in this situation.
Definitely.
Because it sounds like, I mean, it could have easily been one man shot in standoff.
Right, yeah.
So the fact that they were able to get this guy out with mm-hmm. non-lethal force, flashbangs, and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
Reminds me when I was a kid, I used to play a game called SWAT. And like,
ooh,
it was all right. about that. Like, it wasn't like a standard run and shoot kind of thing.
Right.
Like, you would fail the game if like you didn't take them into custody.
Yeah, okay.
And you had to shout their rights at them. Mm-hmm. And like, you had to make yourself pre- like, it was interesting.
Yeah,
it was really cool. All right. What else
All
do we got?
All right. So from Friday, February 4th, McLennan Banking 500K by Hannah Neff. From Coeur d'Alene, former North Idaho College president Rick McLennan, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Okay. Will receive just shy of $500,000 to not work at the college.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
According to details from a public record request, McLennan's compensation over 12 months since being fired without cause last September will be $28.72 short of $500,000.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. McLennan's contract includes NIC's agreement to pay him for 12 months of salary and benefits. According to public records, after McLennan sued, a payment of $250,000 was added to the pot from Idaho County's risk management program, NIC's insurer. McLennan filed a lawsuit October 1st against the college, also naming trustees Todd Banducci, Greg McKenzie, and former trustee Michael Barnes, the three board members who voted for his termination. Within the lawsuit, McLennan sought to be reinstated as college president with compensation for any lost wages and benefits, as well as more than $10,000 for damages. McLennan agreed to the disposition of the lawsuit on January 6th. The settlement agreement itself is not public records, and McLennan said Thursday that he has no comment on the settlement. McLennan said that he doesn't have an answer to the chances of him returning to NIC in some capacity. At least at this juncture, termination without cause seems to have severed my relationship with North Idaho College, McLennan told the press. McLennan said he tries not to predict the future. Quote, we just have to see how things shake out, McLennan said. I hope things get back on track, whatever that takes. While McLennan is getting paid, so is his replacement, Interim President Michael Cibali. Cibali's salary is $180,000 a year.
That's pretty good.
That's not a bad salary.
So this is, longtime listeners know that this is just one of our many stories that we followed up on the NIC saga, and it certainly won't be the last, unfortunately.
Still gone.
Yep. All right, moving into Shoshone News Press headlines with Friday, February 4th. Molly, what do we got?
Right, we have Judge Dugan presiding by Josh McDonald. In Wallace, Judge Barbara Dugan was officially sworn in as district judge in the 1st Judicial District during her investiture Wednesday night
Good
at
work.
The Shoshone County Courthouse. Thank you. I almost said
almost
Shoshone Country. I got investiture, but...
Hey, there's a few people here that would say Shoshone Country, so...
That's true. It was announced in November of last year that Idaho Governor Brad Little had appointed Dugan to the position from her now former position as magistrate judge in Shoshone County. A 1991 graduate of the University of Idaho, Dugan was appointed to the magistrate judge position in Shoshone County in 2016, as well as serving in both Kootenai and Benoit counties. While many people in Dugan's position may have elected to stay in the position of magistrate, she believed that this was the next logical progression in her legal career. The world of a magistrate judge is among the most exciting and demanding fields in the legal system, seemingly mirroring a schedule similar to a doctor, depending on what is needed from the court and community in which a person serves. It was a busy job, Dugan said. You have many different obligations, and it's a great job because you have a great variety of work. The district court bench comes with a bigger slate of more serious felony matters, so while the variety of work may decrease, in some cases the severity of the charges and gravity of the consequences will be greater than what Judge Dugan has been handling as a magistrate judge. Dugan's comprehensive knowledge of the law and its procedures are probably two of her biggest strengths. These two qualities are easily spotted when you watch her preside over the courtroom. These can be grave matters, Dugan said, and I want to make sure everything is done correctly and to the best of my ability. While still in its infancy, Dugan is looking at her new position as the one she'd like to ride into the sunset doing, something her predecessor did as well. A senior judge is one who is appointed by the Idaho Supreme Court to act as a substitute judge whenever a situation calls for it, be it health, vacations, or like Shoshone County is experiencing currently, where Judge Dan McGee is acting as magistrate while the new magistrate is being chosen. Quote, I'm thankful to be here, Dugan said. There are so many good people in this community. I'm so thankful for how resilient and generous this community is. I don't think you see that as often in other communities as you see it here. I think this will be a very exciting and remarkable way to finish out my career.
It's awesome. We've been working with Judge Dugan for quite a while now, more so with the former person she's taken the job of with Judge Wayman. Got some big shoes to fill. Judge Wayman was always a professional with us, and we worked quite well with him. So, but we are excited to start working with her as well here in Shoshone. All right, jumping down, I wrote this one. It also ran in the Coeur d'Alene Press on the front page for today's edition on Friday, February 4th. Kootenai Shoshone 4-H turns 100, or half a century, or a full century
of
4-H.
Full
century. I wrote this one myself. Looking at their humble beginnings near Fort Sherman at the old Kootenai County Fairgrounds in 1922, the local 4-H chapter has come a long way since. The staff and volunteers of Kootenai Shoshone 4-H are planning on celebrating this progress with the community on Saturday at 6 p.m. with a 100-year anniversary celebration at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds. Located at 4056 North Government Way in Coeur d'Alene, 4-H program coordinator Tessa Balderrama, that was a fun name, explains that at any and all are invited to the fairgrounds to join in on the fun. Quote, it's totally open to the public, so if anybody has extra family they want to invite or just come and see what 4-H is, we will have those resources here. With a youth membership of around 750 and 300 adult volunteers, Kootenai Shoshone 4-H is the largest 4-H group in the state, even compared to more populated areas such as Ada County. Much of this membership is owed to 4-H being seen by many involved as more of a tradition and less of just a club. Quote, we have families that are actively enrolled in 4-H that have probably hit fourth or fifth generations in an ag-based youth program right here in our county, Balderrama said. It's a long history, which is pretty exciting. It almost goes without saying that the scope of this project that Kootenai Shoshone 4-H offers its youth members has grown exponentially since its conception 100 years ago. While they still have the traditional projects with farm animals that they are known for, they also have expanded into more STEM projects as well. With more than 100 different projects available, Balderrama, a North Idaho native who has been involved with 4-H her entire life, believes that there's something there for everyone. Quote, 4-H is so much more than just cows and cookies. I love that saying. We have just about everything under the sun that you can think of. Part of the fun for youth members is being part of these projects and showing off their hard work at the local county fair. With Kootenai County Fairgrounds also planning to kick off its 100-year anniversary this year, the timing for the local 4-H could not have been better. 4-H and county fairs are almost synonymous with each other, as the fair has always been a natural time and place for farmers to show off their best of their harvest. Quote, we still do the same thing today, so even if you're going to do a Lego robotics project, you can take it all the way to the fair and show it off, Balderrama said. The 100-year Kootenai Shoshone 4-H celebration will be held on Saturday at 6 p.m. with a barn dance theme. Ooh. And a $5 spaghetti fee. Dance lessons will start at 5 p.m.
All right.
I have to say, one of the things I love about the county fair, those who know me, I'm a big country swing dancer. I love when they throw the dance floor out there. It's not just country swing dance and everybody gets out there and gets down on whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's something that's become kind of fun at all the Kootenai County Fair time.
Swing
so
dancing.
I love it. It's a good time. All right, that pushes us up north to the Bonner County Daily Bee out of Sandpoint. Headlines from Wednesday, February 2nd.
All right, a Spirit Lake man arrested after foot pursuit across lake by Caroline Lobsinger.
I got the press release for this, uh-huh. And I immediately started laughing because
the lake.
I'm like, this is only going to end with him going through the lake.
Yeah,
somehow he didn't. Look, I grew up in this area. I've played a lot of lake hockey.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up playing ice hockey. Like, I've been on lakes, so you're good.
Right.
But come on. Like, usually that's
usually
how
this gonna, would end.
This
yes.
is going to end. This is going to change from a foot pursuit to a recovery.
Exactly.
And we're going to have to bring out the ice
man.
Team. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay, what do we got?
A local man is under arrest on multiple charges ranging from felony burglary to petty theft following a foot chase across a frozen Spirit Lake. The arrest of Devin D. Denny, 27, follows a report of a suspicious person trying to get into a Spirit Lake area home. Lieutenant Ryan Higgins, Kootenai County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer, said.
His name is not Devin D. Denny. Come on.
Yeah. Devin D. Denny.
It would be Devin D. Denny.
I'm Devin D. Denny. Higgins said KCSO deputies and Spirit Lake police officers were dispatched to the home in the area of Nautical Loop and Highway 41 at about 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Law enforcement searched the area but were unable to locate the male, Higgins said. However, they did observe a vehicle that was later associated with the male. Quote, the vehicle was observed traveling at a high rate of speed down Nautical Loop towards Osprey Road, Higgins said in a press release. Deputies attempted to stop the male who exited the vehicle and ran onto Spirit Lake, which is frozen. While deputies were attempting to stop the male, they later determined to be Denny, a call came in to the 911 center of a structure fire on Nautical Loop near Highway 41.
Oh.
Higgins said the structure was reported to be a detached shop which was fully engulfed when Spirit Lake fire personnel arrived on the scene. In the meantime, Denny continued on the ice to the other side of the lake. While deputies and officers were attempting to set up a perimeter, Higgins said a citizen called and advised the male was walking back across the lake. Denny was eventually taken into custody without incident. At this time, it is unknown if Denny is associated with the structure fire, but additional charges could be forthcoming once the investigation is completed. Denny has been arrested or charged 11 times since 2009 for alcohol and driving offenses.
Oh.
The Kootenai County Sheriff's Office would like to thank the officers from the Spirit Lake Police Department for their assistance and those citizens who called in to report the location of Denny, Higgins said.
So first off, alcohol could only explain how you could think that would be the perfect crime of like, I'm going to set something on fire.
And then I'm going to run across the
lake. Like that sounds in like an alcohol fueled mind.
Uh-huh. Sure,
that definitely sounds like a perfect, like in a, like a cartoon world.
Yes. A very cartoon world of, yep. Yeah. No, this will work.
Absolutely. And then once he's on the other side, he'll paint. Like on a wall.
And just hop on. Yep. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
That is very interesting. I don't, it says they don't know if he's necessarily associated with the fire. But the fact that he would run across the, I don't know.
Right.
Oof. Okay. Well, whatever.
Interesting.
Sometimes these things happen in Spirit Lake.
Sometimes.
Moving on. Thursday, February 3rd. 1 million files and counting. This is by Carolyn Lobsinger. Just a few weeks short of the county's 115th birthday, the Bonner County Recorder's Office processed the county's 1 millionth document. That's so exciting. By the end of the day, another 76 were added to the total, according to the recording manager, Cindy Brannon. Quote, it was definitely historic for our county, and it was neat to be a part of that, Brannon said. The 1 millionth document was a warranty deed for a purchase of property that was brought in by Lisa Mendenhall from Snedden Law Office. Quote, she thought it was pretty cool, Brannon said. I'm so happy we wrote this story, but... Uh,
While it is impossible to say what the first document recorded in the county was, since the first deed associated with the county were when the area was part of Kootenai County, it wasn't until February 21st, 1907 that Bonner County became a separate entity. In the county's early days, the first documents were recorded by hand in massive log books as people came in before being cross-referenced and noted. Now, as they have been since 1986, the documents are scanned into the community. The program automatically assigns the document a number and continues in sequence. After the information is input into the system, the document is returned to the individual or business. It wasn't a surprise, Brandon said, for the millionth document to be a deed for real property. Quote, we've had a lot of those lately. In addition, Brandon said the office has recorded a lot of loans, deed trusts, and easements in recent years. However, those aren't the only documents that the office processes. Documents handled by the recorder's office include everything from real estate documents to surveys and plats for subdivisions to marriage documents. Quote, we were kind of hoping the millionth document would be a marriage license, Brandon said. The broad range of documents recorded at the office is a surprise to many. Quote, a lot of people don't realize what's in our office, Brandon said. Activity at the recorder's office has picked up substantially in recent years, Brandon said. Back in 2008, the number of documents recorded at the office was about 700,000, which with the county only needing 14 years to hit the remaining 300,000, she said. So first off, this story is just, it's like when you, like in sports, they'll have like useless facts.
Yes.
Like,
right.
The Detroit Red Wings are undefeated on the third Wednesday with a full moon. And it's, you know, like, okay, like, yes, great. This is so cool. I mean, that's, it's one of those stories that makes you smile because that's just a fun fact.
It is. And like, and I do, you know, that it wasn't until February 21st, 1907, that Bonner County, like just thinking of, yeah, they've got all these documents from that time, but
it's definitely a fun story.
Funny. Yeah,
it's definitely a fun story.
It is, yeah.
Okay, moving on to Friday, right. February 4th. What do we got?
Sagal couple awarded attorney's fees in suit by Caroline Lobsinger. A Sagal couple has been awarded attorney's fees for their lawsuit over the county's decision to vacate the last portion of Camp Bay Road. The couple filed the lawsuit last May, and a first district judge ruled in favor of Fred and Jennifer Arne in November. In late January, the couple was awarded attorney's fees in relation to the lawsuit. We are happy, quote, we are happy that the court recognized what we argued all along. The county was wrong. Indeed, the county acted frivolously in vacating the section of the road, the couple said in a press release emailed to the local media. The lawsuit stemmed from the county's decision, vacated the final 2,550 feet, or 2.93 acres, of the gravel road. In documents submitted to the county, Green Enterprises, Inc., claimed vacating the road would be in the public interest because it would protect Lake Ponderay by moving the road further from the lake shore, and that taxpayers would have less of a burden to maintain the road since it would pass into private ownership. The portion of Camp Bay Road in dispute is within South Camp Bay Properties, owned by Green Enterprises, Inc., and M3ID Camp Bay, LLC. In planning and zoning documents, the purpose of the road vacation was to increase property tax revenue and provide a gated entrance for the residents, which would increase security and reduce trespassing. The application to vacate the road was unanimously approved by the board on April 7, 2021. During public comment dedicated to those opposed to the project, both those in favor of and those against spoke. Three of those who spoke were attorneys for Green Enterprises or their representatives. Two were from the Green family speaking against the vacation, who had to be cut off because the topics discussed were irrelevant, according to Commission Chairman Dan McDonald. However, the court's decision contradicted that conclusion. In the lawsuit, the Arne said the county lacked the right to vacate the road and cited 11 points to back up their contention. Among the complaints was that the commissioners failed to evaluate if the road vacation was in the public interest and that there was a conflict of interest involving then-director of Road and Bridge Department, Steve Klatt, who also served on the board of directors for Green Enterprises. The Arnes also said in their complaint that the vacation of the road served the private interests of Green Enterprises and M3 and not the county's residents. Quote, the court also made it crystal clear that Camp Bay Road does provide public access to the Lake Ponderay, the couple said in the press release. In the end, they said the decision really adds insult to injury to the county's residents. Quote, not only did the county try to give away public access for free, now the taxpayers have to pay attorney fees for the lawsuit that should not have been necessary, the couple said. In our view, there is no reason to vacate the road. The homes can go in without a gated road, and the public can continue to enjoy public access to the lake as they have for decades.
These types of stories, like land vacations and road vacations, they seems like we get more and more of them in the recent years because of the exponential growth we've had in the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things that just never came up or became issues because it was just open land are now becoming more and more. So, like, things that were more nebulous before, like, who owns that road? Before, it didn't matter.
It's starting to matter mm-hmm. because that, yep, that makes sense.
All right, pushing even further north to the Bonners Ferry Herald, headlines from Thursday, February 3rd, fentanyl in Boundary County. This is my Emily Bond sent. Over the past 2 weeks, the Bonners Ferry Police Department, with assistance from the Department of Probation and Parole, as well as U.S. border agents, have conducted numerous efforts to slow the influx of fentanyl into the community. The result is 5 separate arrests, each resulting in the recovery of fentanyl pills. Investigations are ongoing with additional charges probable, BFPD Assistant Chief Marty Ryan said. BFPD officers recognize that each of the fentanyl pills recovered were the same in appearance, referred to as the street level as Mexi pills or Mexi blues. The pills are small in size, marked with an M on one side, the number 30 on the other. According to the Drug Enforcement Agency, 2 milligrams of fentanyl can be lethal depending on a person's body size, tolerance, and past usage. DEA analysis has found counterfeit pills ranging from 0.02 to 5.1 milligrams, more than twice the lethal dose of fentanyl per tablet. 42% of pills tested for fentanyl contain at least 2 milligrams of fentanyl, considered a potentially lethal dose. Drug trafficking organizations typically distribute fentanyl by the kilogram. 1 kilogram of fentanyl has the potential to kill 500,000 people, said DEA officials. For the listeners who remember this, we had Sergeant Stennett from ISP on the show and talked about this a lot. One of the problems with Mexi Blues is their generic fentanyl that's crafted in Mexico.
Yeah.
So there's no quality control. So like mm-hmm. they've mentioned, some of them could just be sugar pills.
Right.
And then other of them could be massively lethal doses of it.
Yeah, that you have no idea of knowing.
Exactly. It is possible for someone to take a pill without knowing it contains fentanyl, DEA officials said. It's also possible to take a pill knowing it contains fentanyl, but with no way of it contains a lethal dose. Quote, we want the community to be aware that the threat posed of our citizens by this powerful street drug sweeping the nation right now, all coming into the U.S. via our southern border, Ryan said. The drug is ingested in many ways. The most common technique identified locally is the method of inhalation, he said. This is done by resting the pill on a small square piece of tinfoil and heating it with a flame. As the pill heats, it melts and turns into a gaseous fumes which rise from the foil. The fumes are then inhaled via any makeshift straw or tube. Ryan advised that concerned individuals, parents should stay alert for short straws that show evidence of heat being applied to them. Small ballpoint pens, which have the ink of pen and pen parts removed, are the most common, he said. In addition, Ryan said the tinfoil left behind appears heated on one side, the other showing thick black lines as if someone was making lines across it with a thin black marker. Ooh.
Yeah.
For more information or questions, contact the on-duty BFPD city officer or call the department at 208-267-2412. It took a while to cycle up here, but fentanyl has arrived. We had that rash of overdoses in Kootenai County recently. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. This is something that's incredibly which, you know, makes it all the more attractive to somebody who, you know, less is more kind of thing.
Exactly.
So it's understandable from that perspective. But man, especially with the little quality control that there is.
Yeah, it's so scary. And it's being put in so much right at the Shoshone County Board of Commissioners meeting when we were talking with Don Duffy. He mm-hmm. was talking about it because they just recently opened the support center in this area. And yeah, he was saying that it's getting put in marijuana. It's getting put in everything. I know, which is just so scary.
And the fact that it's not something that can be like liberally applied to something like this, a small amount
can kill you.
And literally kill you. And
it's terrifying.
It really is. It's not something that should be taken like,
no.
This isn't like the 1980s where reefer madness is going around and we're afraid of weed. This is a legit problem.
This is killing people.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. All right. We have Stoli promoted to be detective by Cynthia Bonsent. Travis Stoli has been promoted from a patrol deputy to detective with the Boundary County Sheriff's Office. Stolle is filling a vacancy that came open with the retirement of Detective Dave McClelland. Stolle holds an Idaho Advanced Peace Officer certification, a Bachelor of Science degree, and an instructor certification. He has also been the coordinator of the Sheriff's Reserve Deputy Program. In addition to law enforcement training and experience, he served as a helicopter mechanic and crew chief with the Marine Corps from 2005 through 2014. He was deployed to Iraq twice and Afghanistan once and was attached to the Marine Expeditionary Unit in the Persian Gulf. Hmm. Stolle grew up in Boundary County and has been active in volunteering his time to help youth in the community by teaching hunter education for many years and being a wrestling coach at the middle school. Stolle said that he is excited to grow both personally and professionally in this new position as a detective. BCSO officials said they are excited to have Stolle in his new role as the detective. His work ethic and ability to work with people will be a great fit for the detective position, said BCSO officials.
Well, congratulations. That's hopefully he can great. Help find some fentanyl.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Exactly.
Once again, we'd like to thank Hecla Mining Company for sponsoring this episode. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. Molly, that's it.
That's it.
We are done. What'd you think of your first episode?
That was fun.
We got through it. Under an hour, too.
Under an hour.
It's pretty good.
Only struggled a little bit with the numbers.
With numbers.
Oh, my goodness. My brain just was like, no, we're not having that.
3265, 432.
And 92 cents. Oh, boy. Nope. My brain, the neurons stopped firing with ones.
I had one story where we were reading fishing derby results, and it was just, I was struggling hard through it. It can be, don't worry about it.
Numbers are hard.
Numbers are hard, especially in our job where we're writers. Yeah. No, numbers,
just like, numbers
are tough.
Not working.
Numbers are really tough. All right, everybody, thanks again for listening in. We really appreciate
Thank
it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in the stories we talked about today or the ones we did not, check us out at www.coeurdaluepress.com, shushunnewspress.com, bonnercandydb.com, or the bonnercandyherald.com. Boy, I'm trying to talk to you fast here. If you listen to us on a podcatcher, please subscribe and or like and or follow us so you can get every episode as soon as it comes out. And jump on over to Facebook and find North Idaho Now Facebook page and give them a like as well, because we post some funny things on there. And we're here to give you a little laugh at the end of the day.
A little chuckle.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks again, and we'll see you on Tuesday.